he did nothing of himself. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
But he did. What he did is what he saw the Father doing. But he didn't have a television set. The channel was empty, so that the impulse to do or to act didn't pass through the mind. That's why there's no thought, there's action. So let's look at that again in John 5, because this is the essence of the spiritual warfare, which is what we're talking about. So weak, it's just like it took everything in me just to take a shower. But anyway, we started looking at this, I think, on Friday, but in John 5, starting verse 19, verily, verily, or then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And so it's a different mechanism than the mind that we have. But anyway, let's continue. Let's go up to verse 30 of John 5. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now that doesn't mean he couldn't have done it. We have the examples where he had to repent. But he does nothing of himself or from himself. Well, anyway, that essence, that's why in Isaiah, in several places, it says, forsake your ways and your thoughts, for they are evil. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. What is that saying? Isaiah 55. In verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's why we must have the mind of Christ, which only it's that emptiness that never again takes thought for the next second. It's what you see, you do. What you speak, is there. You don't. It's just a being instead of trying to be. What?
I was thinking about people who say, "Oh, I just want to serve God. I just want to do what He wants me to do. I just want to be in His will." And that whole language provides separation.
Right. It's will worship.
Be something that's approved by you, but I still want to be me while I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's what we call, that's what Colossians calls will worship.
Yeah, it's double-mindedness. And, so there's no real surrender. There's pretty words, but there's no acquiescence completely.
Let's go look at John 1. I love this. This is some of the most awesome writing and awesome descriptions that there is in the Bible. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. Was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world knew it was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's why you can't make a decision for Christ. You can't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because that keeps you in the picture. And you can never get back in the picture. He alone has immortality. Amen?
Amen. I was thinking, you can't do that, but you can do, you can surrender to that which is. You can leave self behind. And there's a whole plethora of things that connect you, as opposed to that style of evangelism, which makes you think you're now fully in the kingdom, which you may find out later or whatever.
Well, that's why there's so many issues, but it's this: forsake your thoughts and your ways, which are evil. I mean, because they come from the evil one. The evil one can't be redeemed. His own right arm has gotten him the victory. His own seed has gotten him the victory. The human race is died on the cross, as we said so often. That includes you and I. But that evil one raised himself from the dead. And so that's why we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We didn't have any choice. We've never been independent selves. We've always been a vessel for deity. Either the vessel for the deity, which is essentially your mind, or the vessel for Christ, whose mind is empty. So there's total, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. It's freedom beyond freedom. But that's why we must continue in that agreement, so that we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, because this evil one is always trying to get back in the picture. That's what tests. That's what proves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Jesus Christ. So our mind is renewed, i.e., it's become the mind of Christ instead of the mind of Adam or the mind of the evil one. That mind of Christ is always in that state of emptiness.
Which it doesn't play in the devil's playground, so to speak. It's
no, he cannot see iniquity. He withdraws.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at some more. Let's go. We looked at James, didn't we, last Friday? Did we go to James chapter 1? I mean, chapter 4?
We did
1 Peter?
We did 1 Peter 4, 1 through 3, and 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9.
All right.
And then we went to Matthew 12,
all right,
25, and then 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, and Ephesians 6, 12 through 17.
All right. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5.
1 John 5.
The word for having victory is overcoming. And so that's what this one is about. Whosoever in chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is that victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? But again, our language is not a good one to understand these things. So I can say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but in English, that doesn't mean anything. If you say you believe that, it has to be that you depend on him and him alone. There's nothing else. It's you live by faith alone. But again, we can say, I believe the sun's going to rise, and I believe in God. Well, that's in English; it means something. That would be a nonsense statement in Greek or Hebrew, because you believe the sun's going to come up, or you believe it's going to be a nice day. But the believing that Christ that talks about here is that it's a total and complete surrender. It's a supplication where you, it's that total emptiness. But so, again, forgive me, but I keep saying how bad a language is. I really believe that English is the worst language ever invented to understand spiritual matters. Anyway, so he that believeth that lives by faith alone is that's the one that overcometh the world. Because what overcometh the world? Even our faith. Let's just read Ephesians 6 again, because that's critical.
Ephesians 6?
Yeah. We've been looking at it. It's sort of we go back to it often. By the way, that meal that I guess it was Kelly, and that was really good.
That was a good one.
That's two Seders in a row. You've had outstanding food.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's talking about our minds. The spiritual wickedness in the high places, that's this place, the high seven high places are where the whore is sitting. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now those things are just a statement of, because you put on Jesus Christ. Your only thing you have on now is the righteousness of Christ. And the reason for this that we do is and above all, taking the shield of faith, where you're able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, the fiery darts of the evil one are your thoughts. No matter if they're good thoughts, you quench the fiery darts of the evil one by the shield of faith. Now, if you think you can have good thoughts, then this scripture won't mean anything to you, except maybe there might be something that's troubling you. Think, oh, I'm going to put the shield of faith up. The shield of faith must never come down. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can never get around that. And the more you realize that, again, that's the path is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. Until only he is there. And this sounds like an impossible thing. But except you be converted, then become as that little child, you lose self-awareness. So this is how you overcome the world and the evil one, by faith alone. All right, let's go to one more. You know,
what is the shield itself?
Faith.
Well, it's the shield of faith.
That's the shield describes what faith is.
Okay.
You can have
context.
Huh?
In this context, shield of faith is it's the
faith is the shield to quench the fiery darts of the evil one.
So then it's Jesus Christ.
But it's the fiery darts of the evil one in your mind.
Okay, so then you got
you shield that faith because faith takes the mind out of the picture, so you have only the emptiness before him. Faith is itself the shield. That shields you from, that knows what anything that comes from the evil one has to be evil. There's nothing. If you don't believe you're the evil one, then none of this will make any sense.
It kind of is coalescing in me, and it's like it's who you are, it's your identity, and it's still it's him, but it's the knowledge of who you are in him, and that's the power that doesn't absorb thoughts or take in thoughts. It reflects thoughts. I guess a shield would bounce them off or deflect them, or it's a parable.
Yeah, it's taking, I don't think it is a parable in that context, because it's the reality of the warfare that you overcome by the shield of faith. But it isn't something that you take, it's not the shield like we would think of a shield, like a Roman soldier with a shield to protect from the, it is a replacement of, it's from this prince of the power of the air is our guidance, to faith alone is our guidance. So let's go to Ephesians 2. We're in Ephesians already, but and you hath he quickened, as you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, it's you can't live in two worlds. When what overcometh the world? What overcometh the evil one? What overcometh everything? Even our faith. But the faith is a constant. It isn't. Faith is everything. And the only way we can have faith is emptiness. Because if this being doesn't have any faith, amen? All right. We'll continue on this. We got what that walk looks like. We'll look. Oh, good to know. So, okay.
It's the billboard.
Billboard. You got a billboard. All right.